I've entitled this morning, Go Reap the Harvest. Go Reap the Harvest. Last week, we were talking about going and releasing signs, wonders, and miracles. Didn't we do that? I don't know what kind of week you've had, but I guarantee that quite a few of us have had challenges this week where we've needed to see miracles, signs, and wonders, and healings happen. And what God was doing last week, what the Lord was doing was he was releasing to us the power, the presence. There's an impartation of grace that you have because of what we did last week. And do you know it's not a feeling? It's not a feeling.
That's right.
When God imparts something to you, you receive it by faith, and you sometimes you'll feel something and sometimes you won't. So impartation, when God imparts something to you, you don't necessarily feel it, but you know you have it.
Yes.
And so God has been, and every time that we preach a message, there's an impartation of truth. There's an impartation in that message where God wants to give you a revelation of what he's speaking about so that you catch hold of the word and begin to apply it in your life. Does that make sense?
That's right.
That's what God, you know, is wanting to do. And There's a deposit in your life that when you go and pray for people, you'll find that more will happen.
Amen.
There's a deposit that God is releasing to us as a church. If we'll believe what his word says, because God isn't just giving us a series of nice messages. He's giving us some messages that we will work with and do something about. And what God is doing is he wants to raise the level. He wants us to come up into a position where miracles and signs and wonders and healings, because we believe God and we declare them and we pray them out, are happening on a regular basis. It may be on the end of a phone, like Rose. It may be on the end of the phone that you declare it. It may be that you can actually pray for someone, which is more usually the case. But whatever it is, God wants us to rise up and take our place, take our position. You know, if Jerry, just stand up a minute. If God's position for Jerry is here, that's his position. Where all the callings of God is in this position here, where he's to preach the gospel, he goes to Africa, he goes to other nations sometimes, he has a work to do here in England as well. But if he's over here, but God's calling is for him over here, he's only going to get part of the job done. Do you understand? He has to be in the right position before God in his calling to do the things that God's called him to do. If he isn't in the right position, he's going to get frustrated. God's going to get frustrated. And people are not going to receive the things that he wants them to through this man's life of ministry. Amen? So it's important that we find our position. Thanks, mate. Our position is a position of faith. So we need to see ourselves as Jesus sees us. We need to see who we really are in Christ Jesus. And we have a lot of that, and we need to have a lot more of that teaching in the church of who Jesus Christ is in us, but who we are in Christ. Because if you don't know who you are, then you won't function as you're supposed to. You won't live by that faith dynamic that God's called you to live in. So there's a position of faith that God wants us to be living in. And out of that position and calling that God has for us, we can then begin to release the things of the kingdom of the Spirit out of our lives. Does this make sense?
Amen.
There's a lot of Christians who aren't in position. In fact, there's a lot of English believers that don't believe, and that's the problem, is that they do not believe what God has said. So if you've got doubt and unbelief in your heart, you've immediately, you're out of position. You could be over here somewhere, or maybe even out of the hall, somewhere else. But you know, if you're in doubt or in unbelief, that will stop the flow of faith in your life. And the great spirit of unbelief has got to be broken over this nation in the church. Never mind about the unbelievers. They'll believe when there's a faith church that rises up, when faith churches rise up in this nation and begin to live in the truth, live in holiness, live in the dynamic of faith, and preach the gospel with signs, wonders, and miracles happening. And we see lives transformed like Wayne's.
Amen.
And see that multiplied out, then we have a move of God in this nation. That's what we live for. To see a church revived and see to see the tide of a godless society change, turning back to God. being born again and saved. And in that dynamic, we have to be in our position. And God wants to release the spirit of faith. That's why we're Kingdom Faith Church. Because it's all about the kingdom, and it's all about his faith, kingdom faith, operating in our lives. Some people believe, but they're not really living in dynamic, what we would call dynamic faith, the faith of God. And God wants us to really be in living by faith, living by his faith at this period of time, and releasing his word and his truth. And as we come against areas of unbelief in our own hearts, and that's where it is, it's in our hearts, as we repent and let God cleanse away unbelief, God will bring us up into our right position of faith. Because it's in the position of faith that all things are possible.
Amen.
That's why we often have weak churches and weak Christians, is because we are not living by the faith that God wants us to. We don't believe his word, we don't believe what he's saying to us. God wants to teach us a whole new way of living in our position in Christ. Amen. He's calling the church to come up in her position, where we had it in our prayer time before the meeting. We have a prayer time there at 9:30 till about 10 o'clock. We just pray over the meeting. We just declare the things that God's saying. And one of the things this morning was all about possessing, occupying and possessing our place in God. And as a church, we need to occupy our place here in Crawley and make a mark in Crawley so that Crawley knows that Jesus Christ is Lord. And along with other churches that are also taking their faith position, that we can work together to see his kingdom come and see an influence take place in our town here, in East Quinsett, and wherever it is that we're working. We want to see the influence and the power of the kingdom come. But you and I individually have to be in our right place, our right position of faith. So God is, you know, in the Stronghold manual, it's got a picture of the photograph of, you know, your country needs you, you know, and this man pointing at you. Well, God wants you. You know, he's pointing at you this morning. He wants you. Amen. He's calling you to rise up and get into your rightful place with him in the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Place of faith, a place of acceptance, a place of love, a place of meeting with God, of loving him, of enjoying life with God, and actually releasing those things of the kingdom that he's given to us. Let's turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Because God has called us, both individually, and that's where we're going to start this morning, but he's called us as a church to reap a harvest.
Amen.
He's called us to reap a harvest. Yes. Reap the harvest. And in Mark, chapter 4, I'm going to read this out of the Truth Version, verse 26. It says this: Jesus spoke further about God's kingdom in this way. God's kingdom develops like this. When a man scatters seed on the ground, it sprouts and grows night and day, whether he sleeps or is awake. The natural growth process is taking place irrespective of what he does. That's good to know, isn't it? First, you see the stalk growing out of the soil, then the head develops, and finally the full grain in the head. When it is ripe, it's time to harvest the crop. I looked it up in the Greek, my Greek interlinear last night. It's interesting, it doesn't actually use the word head, it uses the word ear. I don't know if Jesus was playing on words because Jesus would often talk about, you know, hearing with the ear and for people to really listen and hear. But, you know, when we're witnessing to people, we need to understand the three stages. When we're telling people about Jesus, when we're going to reap a harvest, see someone get born again, we need to understand at what level they're at. And we need to understand, are they a blade of grass just come up out of the ground? Are they at that stage that's growing? Have they developed the ear part? That's the bit where they're really beginning to actually hear and understand who Jesus Christ is. And then it says the full grain in the ear. Now, when the full grain in the ear, when the full head of corn, when the ear is grown and the corn's in that ear of wheat, then it's ready to be reaped, isn't it? And what God was wanting to teach us is how to win the people in your workplace. How to win people next live next door to you and me. How to win your family. How to win relatives. How to win people that we meet during the week. And it comes, firstly, it comes obviously through prayer. We need to say that. We need to pray for people specifically. So just ask yourself this morning, who am I praying for to be saved? Who am I praying for to be saved? Just ask that question this morning. Who are you praying for to be saved? You'll know because you'll be praying for them. And if you feel a bit convicted, I'd like to see so-and-so saved, I occasionally pray for them. Well, don't occasionally pray for them. You know, to reap a harvest, we have to be very, very specific. So we need to be specific in our prayers for people. So begin to write down the person or even a number of people that you're praying for to be saved and make them part of your prayer life so that when you pray, part of what you're praying is you're praying for someone to be saved. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And understand, ask the Lord to show you, because that's what we need him to show us. Show me, Lord, where this person is at. Are they just a blade just come out of the ground? There's something there, but what is it? And begin to determine perhaps on a scale of 1 to 10. I always found that quite helpful. If 10 is getting saved and 1 is at the bottom, what scale are they? How close are they, do you believe, to being saved? Begin to understand. Begin to pray and think and ask the Lord to show you whereabouts this person is in terms of giving their life to Jesus, because that's important too. Otherwise, we'll be insensitive when we're talking to people about the Lord Jesus. We'll actually sometimes go too quickly, and so they feel pushed, and they won't want to talk to us again. Sometimes we're a bit slow in coming forward. Whatever you tend to be like, you need to listen to the Spirit so that you're walking the right way and understand this person is perhaps at stage 3, they're a blade of grass, but the ear isn't formed yet. So what we have to do is we have to develop our prayer life so where we're praying for people that the Spirit of the Lord will begin to reveal into a person's heart who Jesus is. So that when we speak to them, and we carry on praying and speak, when we speak to them, the words that we speak will carry the Spirit of God and something will be deposited in their heart. Something will break into, not just go beyond this, their mind, and get into their heart. So when I'm speaking to people, I'm not speaking to their head, I'm speaking to their heart. They don't know that, but I am. I'm speaking to their heart. I'm seeking that the Spirit of God will get into their spirit, get into their heart, so that the words that I'm speaking are words of life, the words of truth. We're not just reading scriptures out to them, but we're using the truth that's in the scripture, and the Spirit carries those words of truth. When you speak with faith, those words of the gospel will penetrate their heart, and it becomes a seed that is deposited in them. And from that seed, something will begin to grow. The grass or the blade of wheat will begin to spring up. You begin to see something's happening. Something's changing. And we have a situation this week. We're starting a new WHO group over in East Grinstead, because as we've called on people and visited with people, there's one lady who said, she said she believed about Jesus but didn't fully understand about the resurrection. She couldn't understand it. She couldn't grasp it. She wanted to, but she couldn't grasp it. How could he be alive today? And so as a consequence of continuing to pray for her, continuing to visit her on her doorstep and actually helping her in a practical way as well, demonstrating God's love, she's now said, would you like to have something in my home? That sounds good, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's at the blade level and the ear is just beginning to form. The ear is of the wheat is just beginning to form. So this week we're starting to have something in our house for about 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And there's one or two other unsaved people coming to this group because they want to know about Jesus. So we recognise the ones so far that have come, we recognise we've levelled really where they're at. And so that's how we're praying for them to be saved. And then over these next few weeks, as we continue to pray together as a group and individuals, we're praying for these people, the truth of the gospel that comes to us, we run the WHO course, which is all about the truth of the gospel of Jesus. As we talk to them, as they ask questions, the ear will develop. And when the ear comes to the full head, or the corn develops in the ear, then we're there. All we need to do then is reap. It's easy. Because they're ready now, because they've understood the gospel. They have faith now inside of them that they know who Jesus is, what he's done, and they know that they are sinners that need the grace and mercy of God. And when that revelation of the truth, that simple truth about Jesus comes on a person, and they know how to respond, what they need to do, then they're ready to be reaped. But until then, they're not. And that's why oftentimes in the past, we've often reaped too soon, because we saw an ear develop, but it wasn't full. And so we see someone who hasn't really repented and really believed. And the Holy Spirit has been on at me in the last 6 months about this. You've got to get this right. That you've got to allow me to work and convict people of their sin and their need of me. And release the spirit of faith on them so that they will believe. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
God wants us to be in that position where through prayer and through befriending someone else, even just on a one-to-one before they come into any group at all, you can begin to see them come up and understand about the gospel. God wants us to see people saved. Amen? And this growth process is nothing to do with what we do. It's to do what he does. We're working with him, remember?
Yeah.
We pray with him. We pray in the Spirit. We pray with the Spirit. It takes the hard work out of prayer if we all pray with the Spirit. Amen? When we talk to people, we allow the Spirit to do the work. We let the Spirit come and take over, and he'll quicken scriptures and truth as we talk to people and as they ask questions. But we're looking for that process to take place until they give their lives to the Lord. Wayne was a great example. When Wayne first started coming along, the first time he came to this church, he sat there with Kenny, didn't you? And he said he was going to give it three and then out. Give us three goes and then he'll be off. He came the first week. I noticed he didn't come back the next week. And then he came back a few weeks later, and then he starts coming along to the men's group. And what God did in those weeks, and through the WHO group as well, is the truth of the gospel began to penetrate his heart. But we never pushed him, did we, Wayne? We never pushed him. We never forced him, we never twisted his arm as much as we'd like to. We waited until he said, I'm ready. Until he said, what do I need to do now? And at that point, we explained to him about the whole thing of really repenting and receiving forgiveness over every detail of his past life, just to let the blood of Jesus cleanse it away and then receive forgiveness. And at that point, a person is then ready to give their life to Jesus Christ and then make him the Lord of their life. We don't want a cheap gospel. We're going with an expensive gospel that costs Jesus everything. And so we need to explain the expense of the gospel. And how that it's only when we give our life to Jesus, it's only when we give our whole life to him. And I said to Wayne, when you give your life, you're giving your whole life to him. Your life won't belong to you any longer. That's when he got baptized, he knew what that was all about. His life would no longer be his, it would belong to Jesus. And from that point forward, his life belongs to Jesus. And then when we share the gospel with him, he then received the Lord into his life and said, Jesus, I want you to be in charge of my life. And then gradually, and God's doing this process work of transforming him as he is with all of us. And it's been very marked. It's been great to see. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I want to encourage you this morning that sharing the gospel with people is not hard. It's not difficult. You don't have to put on a funny voice or be someone different. Other than who you are. Providing you're walking with God and you're in faith, God will use you very, very powerfully, all of us in this church. And I just felt God say to me, just encourage everyone in the church that they've been called to win souls.
Amen.
And that you can do it. Every one of you can do it. And we're here as a church because along our walk in winning souls, in winning people to Jesus, we do need one another. That's why we have things like WHO groups. We can start them any time we like, both in Crawley and East Grinstead, that will help people come through. So you don't have to do all the work on your own. In fact, I would advise you not to. We want to work together in seeing people get saved. And I know the prayer is the most important part. That what's going on in the spirit in the prayer place is most important. And in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35... It says, Jesus travelled through every town and village, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom of heaven, and healing people from every disease and sickness. So what Jesus was doing, he was demonstrating God's love and mercy. He was demonstrating the power of the kingdom, wasn't he?
That's right.
You've been called to do the same thing.
Amen.
The kingdom of God, if you're born again, you've got Jesus and you've got the Holy Spirit in you, then you're carrying God's kingdom, and that kingdom is full of power and full of healing. You just need to believe what you've been given. God's given to you the kingdom. The kingdom is within you, and that kingdom that was within Jesus is now within you. all you need to do is meditate and think about Jesus and how he lived and what he had living in him every day. That's what you've got. That's what he's given to you. That's what he's given to us as a body. And as we draw out of what he's given to us, that takes faith. That takes a step of faith. But move in the faith that you have and you'll see your faith increase. Move in the faith that you've got when you start talking to people, and your faith will actually, you'll see a release, a greater release of faith, and then a greater release of action, activity. Because it's not just words, it's the power of God. God wants to flow through you. And Jesus wants us to be preaching the good news of the kingdom, doesn't he?
Amen.
We're a faith church here, aren't we?
Yes.
We want to see people saved, don't we?
Yes.
We want to see people's lives changed. Yes. We want to see the church grow, but most important, we want to see God's kingdom advance in this town here and in the places where we live, where we come from.
Amen.
And if we believe that, then God will use us. And it says here that whenever he saw the crowds that gathered, he had compassion on them. The actual Greek word is tenderness. He felt incredible tenderness, and that's mercy and love, compassion on the people. They seem to be helpless to deal with the things that afflicted them. Do you know people like that?
Yes.
Like, they're everywhere. Yeah. People who are afflicted, who don't know what to do. We have the answer. We have the answer within us. We have the answer to give to people. Gina, you're blessed. You're blessed. Lovely baby. Whenever he saw the crowds he gathered, he had compassion on them. They seemed to be helpless to deal with the things that afflicted them. They were like sheep who had no one to shepherd them and care for them. That's because you're supposed to take that place. That's part of your position. You're supposed to show tenderness and compassion and love and mercy and pray for people to be healed and see miracles happen and then tell them about the love of Jesus. He said to his disciples, "There is a plentiful harvest waiting to be reaped, but so few workers. So pray to the Lord of the harvest." And this is what we need to be doing. If you're not already doing, this is what we need to be doing. The Lord says there is a plentiful harvest. In other words, the harvest is much. Would you just say that with me? The harvest is much. So just say it again. The harvest is much. But the workers are few. And these workers are workmen. In the Greek, literally a workman. So we're God's workmen in the harvest. And what do we do when we go into the harvest? What's the whole purpose of us going to the harvest field? To gather the crop, to get it, to reap it. That's what we're there to do. And it says there's a plentiful harvest waiting to be reaped, but so few workers. So pray to the Lord of the harvest, the Lord of the harvest. So God's calling all these people, multitudes of people, to come to know him. But he's waiting for the church, he's waiting for the workers to realise what they've got, so they will then go out into their areas, work life, their places of influence where they go, and win the harvest, bring the harvest in.
Amen.
It's not just about when we have a Saturday down in the square. It's not just about some of us doing door-to-door work or going out in the street to talk to people about Jesus. That some of us have been called to do that, and it's great when we can do that together as groups and as the church. But that's part of it, but that's not it. And God is saying to you this morning, saying, think about your week and think about the people that you know and begin to pray over that the Lord has already sent you into your harvest field. That's a harvest field. Wherever you go in your week, whatever's part of your life at the moment, that's your harvest field. And he's saying to you that it's plentiful. There's much harvest. There's many souls. There's so many young people and old people and middle-aged people and couples and single-parent mums and dads. And you know, the whole realm there, they're all waiting to hear the gospel to be saved. There's a much harvest waiting to be reaped, but so few workmen. God's called you to be a workman. And he wants you to sign up to say, "Yes, Lord, count me in. I want to see at least one person saved before Christmas."
Amen.
If you'll believe God and actually make that part of your prayer. See, if you don't pray anything like that, then nothing will happen. But if you say, Lord, thank you, I'm going to see souls saved. Lord, I'm praying for so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. I'm beginning to pray for them that God, you'll open their eyes to see who you are. I pray you'll begin to convict them by the Spirit about their need of you. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll begin to unblock their ears, cause them to hear. Lord, begin to draw them to yourself. Let there be a drawing of the Holy Spirit over their life. As we begin to pray like that, over people, the Holy Spirit's got something to work with. And he will start working in that person's life. And we've been called to go and to share the gospel, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus in this way so that we can reap a harvest. So just think this morning, if all of us in this church led one person, not just to say the prayer, but went through the process of seeing the blade come up, of seeing the ear form, of seeing the full head. That means the full faith and understanding of what it's all about. And they're ready to give their life to Jesus Christ. And we're ready to be the workmen to reap the harvest. You imagine what would be like as a church. I want you to begin to catch a vision because the Lord has spoken his word over us as a church here. He said, you'll be a church of thousands.
Amen.
I don't think God plays around with words, but I know it starts just by winning one soul at a time. I know that. But just think, if we're, let's say we're 100 people strong at the moment as a church here, 100 people, and we all went out and saw one person saved, repentant and believing and full of God and full of the kingdom, then we're double. 200. If at Christmas we said, come on church, let's believe God for another person to be saved before the summer, 400.
Amen.
And you don't have to do that, you know, the math, the whole thing of multiplication starts happening. And God is saying to us, just believe for one soul. Even if that's your faith, just believe for one person. And if you say this morning, I don't know who to believe for, I really struggle with all this, ask the Holy Spirit to put someone that you know on your heart to pray for. And begin to make inroads in that in prayer and start reaching out to them, get them round for a cup of tea or a meal. Start spending some time with people like that. Just love them and see what God does. Amen?
Amen.
Start sharing the truth with them. When people are ready, you know, when they start asking questions, they're ready and you think, I'm not sure where to take this, where to go. Come and talk to one of us and we'll get a who group going so that we can begin to have a little bit more form to what we do. And we cover the whole thing, the whole stage of the gospel, and all the questions are asked in those 4 or 5 weeks. The Holy Spirit turns up because of the prayer that's going on, but also because it was God inspired it to be done. Does this make sense? So we're in this together. But God is saying that the harvest is plentiful. There's a great harvest waiting to be reaped, but so few workmen. So pray to the Lord of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his harvest field. Amen. Are you ready?
Yes.
Who are you praying for at the moment? Who are you praying? Specific person that you're praying for? Which people? Maybe it's more than one. Who are you praying for? And then ask yourself the question, what am I doing to win this person for Christ? What am I doing to win this family for Jesus? God may just be asking, that's why it's important that we're faithful in the things that God has given to us. He may just be asking you to win one person for Christ, but as a result of winning that one person perhaps has an influence to thousands. That's how the kingdom works. And when that one person gets saved, all of their unsaved friends and people that they connect with, they start coming under the influence of the gospel of Jesus through them. So just one person can make a difference to thousands of people. Makes sense, doesn't it? God is calling us to go and reap a harvest, and it starts right on your doorstep. It starts right where you are. Jesus was a friend to individual people. Jesus was a friend to many, but he was a friend to individuals. He always took time out with people. He took time out with children. He played with children, loved them, blessed them. He took time out. He was never too busy to meet individual people and love them and care for them. And we need to be the same. Jesus preached the multitudes, but he also took time out with the woman at the well. And we need to begin to really believe God's going to give us divine setups that he's set up specific so that to make it easy for you so that you can begin to declare the truth about Jesus in a very natural, very ordinary way, without using too big a words or language that they don't understand, but in their language you can speak to them about who Jesus Christ is. And the difference is made to your life, because your testimony, your story, no one else has, Les. But your story, the story that you have of what God's done for you, is a very powerful tool to get someone else to know about the Lord. It's your personal story of what God's done for you. And providing people along the way, over the period of time, understand what repentance from sin is all about, that they're sinners, that they actually have completely missed the mark, like us all. But Jesus put it right at the cross. And we talk about the cross and the blood of Jesus and what he's done for them, what he's done for us. And we explain to them the truth, as well as our story of what actually happened to us. We'll see God actually, by the Spirit, beginning to not just have people that are blades of grass coming out of the ground, but we'll see the ear beginning to form. There's a lot of ears out there.
That's right.
Amen.
There's a lot of ears out there. There's a lot of, actually, a lot of people are very, very close to the kingdom. We don't realise it. There's a lot of people who know a lot about the gospel. I know a lot of people don't, but there's a lot of people who do. There's a lot of backsliding or backslidden Christians who got disappointed early on and lost their way. Because they prayed a prayer too, and something happened, but it was never really, the whole truth of the gospel was never really fully formed in them, and so they never really repented at the beginning, and they lost their way. And God's calling them back. Calling them back into a true place of repentance and faith where they really know the power of the gospel of Jesus in their hearts and lives. This makes sense.
Amen.
God's calling you and me to go and reap the harvest. Think about the people right on your doorstep, right in your workplace, right in your week of influence where you are, and begin to see a new picture. Begin to dream dreams. Begin to declare with your mouth the things that God begins to show you. And make the difference. Because when we start to see, when we start to speak the things of God, they begin to happen. It's, you know, the devil wants, his biggest thing is he wants to shut us up.
Right.
He wants to shut down the gospel. He wants to stop us from talking about Jesus. He wants to stop us from stepping out in faith to pray for the sick by trying to tell us that, well, you did it before and it didn't work. Or you messed up there, or you upset that person. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. God says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it.
Amen.
Open your mouth for the gospel. Open your mouth for the truth of Jesus and his love to pour out of your life. And demonstrate his love to people out of that tenderness and compassion and mercy. Amen?
Amen.
Let's begin to really begin to see a difference take place even in this week and in this season of time before Christmas. Begin to pray, seriously pray. Fast and pray even for people to be saved. Spend some time praying and seeing what God sees. As God shows you what he sees, and you begin to see with faith. I often do that. I often begin to, Lord, show me. I can see what I can see. That doesn't fill me with faith. Lord, show me what I can, what you see, and then I'll be filled with faith. Because you see beyond where we are. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand. Let's just respond to the Lord over these next few minutes. Thank you, Jesus.